I'm going to speak to you a few minutes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then I'm going to come around and let some of y'all do some sharing. If you ain't afraid it, I'll give you something. Might give you some Holy Ghost. Yeah, praise the Lord. And I'm going to start off with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have bore the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." How many's all? It's all. Can't get no bigger than all. All's about as big as it gets. "We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Okay? Now I'm going to concentrate a little bit on that 52nd verse. It says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." And the word "moment" there is the word atomos. And if you look up the word atomos, what it really means is an atom, A-T-O-M. And we were just talking about an atom before, and that atoms are held together. Scientists can't even tell you why they're held together. They really can't. I mean, you know, the chairs and things like that, there's no reason. It's just they shouldn't just fall apart. Everything that we see in the natural could conceivably fall apart. But I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't, because God holds it all together. Now, science would never tell you that, because that would be something a little beyond where they're at. But I'm going to tell you what, that's the way it is. Because Scripture says all things consist by Him. He's the one that causes everything to stay around. Otherwise, it would all fall apart. And it says that word atomos in a moment, that's the only place that word is in the Bible. There's other words for moment, but that's the only time that word is translated as the word moment. So it's really talking about something more than a moment. They translated it as a moment. Atomos, and if you take an atom and you look up the definition of the word atom, A-T-O-M, not the other atom, but you look up at the word atom, and you know what it says if you look it up? It'll say something unchangeable. Something unchangeable. Now, I'm going to tell you, when he's saying here, he's saying that we've bore the image of the earthly, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly, and he says, "And now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment." And he's saying, once you get to the point to where you're unchangeable, I believe is what he's saying. When you get to the point where you're unchangeable, And that's not out of stubbornness, and that's not out of bullheadedness, because we're a lot of us are like that at times. But that's out of his inner workings on you, his dealings with you, him doing the changing of you on the inside, because he's the one that holds you together to begin with. But when you get to the point where there's nothing left to change, guess what? You will have arrived. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are in positions where they think they've arrived already. But I don't know that I agree with them, you know. God has a finished work. And he, as far as he's concerned, it's finished. As far as you're concerned, you're to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I'm going to tell you what, it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And you might say, well bless God, Oscar, I've been in this thing for a lot of years and I haven't seen it totally come to pass. Well, I'll tell you what, you just keep moving forward in him and he'll bring it to pass, because he's the one that has to bring it to pass. You can't bring it to pass. You can't make it happen. You can confess and say, you're perfect, you're perfect, you're perfect. But until his work inside of you starts working to the outside completely, then that's just you proclaiming something that isn't totally finished yet. It's finished as far as he's concerned. It's just not finished as far as you're concerned. Because if it was finished as far as you're concerned, you'd go down and walk across the Ohio River without any boat. You could say to the storm, be still. And guess what? It would be still. You could say, to any situation that you come upon, be thou, and guess what? It would be. He said if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the midst of the sea, and it would happen. Now, mustard seed, I don't know if they don't do it much anymore, but when I was a young teenager, that's been a while back, or young man, a lot of women used to wear necklaces. Anybody that's a little bit older knows what I'm talking about already. And those necklaces were like a glass ball, and inside of that glass ball was a mustard seed. And Scripture says it's one of the smallest seeds that there is. But yet, I guess that ball must have magnified it and made it bigger to where you could actually see it. I don't know. I never broke one open. I've never seen a mustard seed, so I don't know what they look like, other than what I've seen in those necklaces. But I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people don't realize that that seed of faith is in you. And that seed of faith needs a little bit of sunshine. It needs a little bit of rain. And it even needs a little bit of dirt. And we can supply all the dirt it needs. You might not like when I say that, but we can supply all the dirt it needs. But the sunshine and the rain have to come from him, because he is the sun. And Scripture says in Isaiah chapter 60, arise and shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And it talks about kings coming to the brightness of our rising. And I just want you to know that he's the one that has to arise and shine inside of you. You have to acknowledge him on a daily basis. And when you do that on a daily basis and you praise him on a daily basis, I love that we were talking about praise. If I'd have got into the rest of my scripture this morning, the first name of the 144,000 in Revelations that's mentioned back there is Judah. Praise. And I can tell you, as having been in this church for 50-something years, not this particular one, but this assembly I'm talking about of people, if I heard one prophetic word given about praising the Lord, I've heard maybe, I don't know, I may be exaggerating, it feels like 100 times. I've heard it many, many, many times. And I'm going to tell you what, it's like sometimes I think at times that we're a little deaf, because praising the Lord, he inhabits the praises of his saints. Praising the Lord begins to release the power of God in any situation, in any circumstance. And, you know, we don't just praise the Lord when everything's going good. We praise him all the time, in everything. Wait a minute, in everything? In everything give thanks, for this is what? Will of God in Christ Jesus, what? Concerning you. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Concerning me? You mean if I'm having a rough time and I can't get on top of it, and I want to get on top of it, and I want to get in the will of God, all I have to do is start praising him right in the middle of that situation, right in the middle of that circumstances, right in the middle of everything that's going wrong, everything that feels like it's falling apart. You know, I was telling Sherry last week, because she wanted prayer for strength, you know, and God is your strength. When you, it says, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. You know, when we feel weak, let the weak do what? Say, I'm strong. Why are you strong? You're feeling weak. But you're strong because he's inside of you. Let the weak say, I'm strong. I'm going to tell you what, when we start praising him and we really come into the deep praises of God, his presence gets so released that miraculous things will begin to happen. And I'm going to tell you what, if you've never seen nothing miraculous, I'm going to tell you what, a lot of times I've had situations to where I had a situation one time where I was coming home years and years ago. I was coming home from we were having like almost like a revival at church one time. And I'm coming home, and I think it's during the week. It wasn't on a Sunday, and it was at night. And I was coming across, I'm trying to think of the name of that street. It was up at the top of Westwood Northern Boulevard. I used to live on Westwood Northern Boulevard. And I'm coming across this road, and I'm going to turn left and go down Westwood Northern Boulevard, and then have to swing around after I get about halfway down the hill, make a U-turn and come back up to get to my house where I lived. So I'm driving, and it had been a wonderful service, and the Lord was moving mightily and stuff. And I start to make a left-hand turn. And I mean, I'm in full moving, making a left-hand turn. And this guy, and I'm in the outside lane. There isn't no other lane there, you know what I mean. This guy comes around me, and if he was going 70, it was slow. He was going fast. I mean, fast. And somehow, some way, he didn't hit me. I mean, he come from behind me, and I'm making a sharp left-hand turn, and I'm moving. I mean, I'm not poking around. I'm starting to make that turn. And he come around me on that side, and I don't know how he kept from hitting the curb and all kind of stuff away, because if you ever know how the Westwood Northern Boulevard is there. But he came around me and did not hit me. And I'm going to tell you, all I could say was, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, because I'm going to tell you, I should have been killed that night as fast as that man was driving, the way he would have hit me. But God had his hand on me. It wasn't my time. And I don't care how crazy that man was driving. I don't care how close he came to hitting me. He did not hit me, you know. And I honestly, I was just going down the road saying, praise the Lord. Lord, I don't know how that man didn't hit me. You know, it just astounded me. It was almost like the Lord miraculously let him get around me somehow. But you know what God was showing me? He was showing me, son, I got you. I got you in the palm of my hand, and no man can snatch you out of the palm of my hand. No man. And I'm going to tell you, I've had situations in my life. I've had people pull guns on me and everything else before I even gave my life to the Lord. And I was kind of a brash Christian young teenager then. And instead of backing off, I was pressing forward, you know. And how I kept from getting shot a couple times, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what, God knows. Because he had his hand on me. And I'm going to tell you what, he has a hand on you. That's why none of you have had the coronavirus. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and start hugging on people that's got the coronavirus. But I'm just telling you, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, there's been thousands of people die in Ohio with that. And a lot of other people got really sick with it. And you know what? I thank God that he's had his hand on everyone in here. And I just want you to know that in a moment, in the atomos, in the twinkling of an eye, what happens when the eye twinkles? You know what makes your eye twinkle? Can you see my eye twinkling? Light. A reflection of light. And I'm going to tell you what, he's saying when your eye begins to reflect the light of God, I'm going to bring you to that atomos moment. To that moment to where it's an unchangeable moment. And, you know, let's just read on a little bit. It says, and in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And that word is probably metamorpho. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's metamorpho. And you know what happens in a metamorphosis? You become a two-dimensional creature. You know, the word declares that we're in this world, but we're not what? Of it. It declares that we're seated together with him in where? Heavenly places. Jesus stood and said, he basically told them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I'm he, when he was talking to Nicodemus. And he said, I, the Son of Man. Brother Eddie, I remember him sharing the sermon one time. I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven. He was standing right there in front of him. What did he mean? He was walking in a realm and in a situation where he was in heaven with his Father. He was with him. And I got news for you. You need to start proclaiming that you're with him too. Yes. That you're seated together with him in heavenly places. That he's there with you always. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's inside of you. And sometimes we have a little problem with that. People will say, well, bless God. I know the Lord's in me. And then they're praying, come, Lord, come. Well, he's saying, I'm here. I'm there. We need to start saying, yes, Lord, I know you're here. Come greater in me. Let's say it like that. Show yourself greater to me. You know, help me move more into that perfect day, you know. Praise the Lord. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe that's the last change. When that last change takes place, you can't be changed anymore. And it says, for this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Now, a lot of people go around and say, well, man's immortal. That isn't what it says right here. It says, we have a corruptible nature. And it says this mortal will have put on immortality then. Okay? And it says, so then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have been put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Now, his work is finished, but your work isn't. And your part of your work is to labor to enter into his rest. And I've taught on that before, and when it says labor to enter in, that sounds labor to rest. That sounds like a oxymoron. You got to work hard to rest. You know, that's what it sounds like. But that word for labor is the word spedozo in Greek. And it means do it quickly. That's your labor. Quickly enter into his rest. You know, we might not get to see the Olympics this year. I don't know if they'll have it or not. I don't think they're going to have it. But when them swimmers get up there and they swim and they have them little bitty trunks on, they're just barely covering stuff up, and they're tighter than I don't know what, those are called Speedos. And you know what? Why they're like that? So that there'll be no friction when they go through the water. Because that just a little bit of friction or drag will slow them down. And you know, he's saying to you, put on your Speedo. Do it fast. Enter into the rest. You know how you enter into the rest? You start acknowledging that he's in control of it all. You start praising him in the middle of every situation and circumstance. You start saying, Lord, I'm going to rest in you. I trust you. You know, when I come down off of here, and if I go and sit in that chair, I'm glad it's got four legs. I trust it. It's got four legs. If it had two legs, I might be a little leery of sitting down in that chair. But let me tell you what, you don't ever have to be leery of sitting down in him, of resting in him, of acknowledging him in any situation, any circumstance, no matter what's happening. And you say, well, Oscar, that's easy to say and hard to do. I didn't say it was going to be easy. You know, entering into his rest is one of the hardest things you're ever going to do. It's one of the hardest things. Go home and lay down on the couch and say, man, I'm going to rest here. And watch and see if your mind don't start telling you, yeah, but the grass needs to be cut. You need to go to the grocery store. You need to get up and pay some bills. You need to call so-and-so. You ain't talked to them for a while. They're going to be mad at you. And your mind will start beating you to death, trying to get you up out of that rest. But I'm going to tell you what. Jesus went aside, and he rested. And his rest, the scripture says, is glorious. When we enter into his rest, not our rest, his rest, we will have ceased from our own labors. That's not saying God won't have you do anything, but it won't be you out there doing it. It'll be him doing it through you. And that's the problem. Because I tell you, you know, I had somebody say to me the other day, they said, Oscar, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you can be a pastor. He said, I know you got to get a lot of aggravation at times. I said, well, you know, sometimes, you know. Sometimes people say or do things, or sometimes you come in here and there's a few people and you think, Lord, do you really want me to do this? You know, that has to go through your mind once in a while, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, even with me, I have to learn to rest and trust him. If he gives me a word and there's one person in here, I'm going to share that word. And I'm going to share it just the same as I would if there was 10,000 people sitting in here. And, you know, we have to learn to enter into his rest. And that word back there in Hebrews where it says about entering into his rest, the word for rest there is the word repose. And you know what repose means? It means to lie in a recumbent position. And you know, last night, we'd been out in the sun. Man, I got a little bit of sunburn. My arms are kind of red. I look like an Indian up here. And we'd been at Holden's ball game, and I got a little too much sun. And I should have used some of Debbie's stuff she had, some of her spray, which I didn't. But, you know, I went upstairs, and I was laying in the bed, and I was trying to get in that recumbent position where I could get relaxed. And that sunburn wasn't letting me do it. It kind of sting a little bit. It kind of itched and stuff. But I tell you what, he wants us to enter into his rest. He wants us to do it quickly. Labor to enter into his rest. Spadozo, do it speedily. And if we'll do it speedily, I tell you what, we'll find his rest as glorious. So praise the Lord. That's really all I had to share with you today. Now, I'm gonna ask if anybody's got any testimonies, and I'm going to come around. If you got any, I'm going to give you all a chance to tell me what wonderful things the Lord gave you insights into during your imprisonment in a house. I'm sure he spoke to some of you, and I'm going to do that right now. Got it turned on. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of things that that I can really just attest to that God did through me during this period. Everybody knows that I'm a teacher by profession, and so we had to go into remote learning, where we were kind of doing everything online like that. And this 2 years ago, God just laid it on my heart to start a prayer group amongst the teachers at my school. And we were doing that where we'd meet on Monday mornings and just pray together. And so when all of this happened, obviously we weren't able to meet together to pray. And we were in I got a text from my principal one day when we were getting ready to go into a staff meeting. And she just asked me if I would just pray. And so, so I said, absolutely. And so, you know, we went through the meeting, and of course, you know, she said that I would be praying and just allowed anyone who didn't want to participate in that, they could just log off of the meeting. So I went ahead and I just prayed, and you know, it was like, okay, well, God, whatever you want me to say, you know, by divinely. And so after that, I got some messages back from some teachers and some texts and things and just thanking me for that. And then the next week, I was asked to just give some words of encouragement through the Word of God. And so, and God was just, he was just opening up those opportunities for me to just be the light, even though it was remotely or virtually or whatever. And he also placed in me, he started giving me a word every week to just email and to just send to the people, the staff who were in our prayer meeting, or our prayer group. Every week he would just give me a word to give, and he's still doing that. And so I just, you know, I mean, just the opportunity, I feel like it's an opportunity, but I also feel like, you know, God is just showing me that, you know, he's still God in the midst of everything. He's still God, regardless of what our situation and circumstances are, he's still God.
Praise the Lord. You want to say something, Bob?
about you, Sherlyn, or Thorleen?
Well, I was out planting flowers and things the last couple of days, and we kind of live in the corner, and everybody was out walking their dog, and you know, and so glad to be out and everything. And then a lady stopped by to talk to me. I'd never seen her before, and ends up that she'd just moved in up just the street, a very short distance, 5 days ago, she said. And in our little bit of a conversation, she said something that I thought, oh, she's a Christian. I could tell what she said, and then I said something back. So that then the next time she came around, we got to talking a little bit more about it, and I was still busy planting flowers, but we couldn't talk very much. And I said, you know, I wanted to have a chance to talk to you. And I'm really excited about it. I don't know why, but I feel like something there, I could just feel, like a communion of something. And so I want to thank the Lord for that and see what he's got in store for us.
Praise God. That's great.
Amen.
Did you have something for me? Brian, you want to say something?
Being at home, and I'm in the construction business, and so we're considered one of the essentials, and doing work at Twin Lakes facility. It's a retirement facility in Montgomery where there's quite a few people that have been affected. I ran into one of the superintendents there of the project we were working with and didn't know the gentleman was a Christian, and I was just really blessed by that God would bring a gentleman into my area that I had something in common with and wanted to get together with after this is all settled down and over with, that to just bring some friends into my life, you know, new people who can influence me and make a difference in my life. So I was just thankful of that, but just being able to encourage people also in business there, because very few came into the office. I was just blessed and honored to be able to do that. I try to be an encourager and to help others that are struggling and feel that's God's purpose for me, and I just appreciate to be able to serve and do that. So thank you.
Lisa, you want to say something?
Yeah, just during this time, it was kind of funny. I always felt like I wasn't doing enough, and with this idle time, it kind of helped me to be able to serve and not be so idle. So it was really nice to be able to get out there and help people that needed that time.
So. Sam, would you want to say something? Would you like to say something? Denise, you want to say something?
I wasn't a light during the quarantine.
Oh, I know you're a light all the time, Denise. Don't. No, I know better than that.
I don't. Thank you.
Before the quarantine, I started posting. I do a meditation. I read in the morning scripture and some meditation books, all spiritual, and I pray every morning and just ask God to guide me. And so I have been posting things that I read that I feel God's asking me to post on Facebook every morning before I leave the house. And it's been an eye-opening experience for me. It's not only helped me to learn about myself and about my faith, but I've had a lot of other people comment on my posts. And I was telling Charlene this morning that, you know, people thank me, and I tell them it's not me, that it's God working through me.
Amen.
And I've been doing it every day. I do it before I leave work. My work I have what they call flex time, so I don't ever leave the house before I do my meditation, whether I wake up late or running late, you know, because of the dogs, or it's something that I do on a daily basis. And for any of you that may want to, like, read them or check them out, you can get on Facebook. It's my page is public. I make it so anybody can read them, because I believe that there needs to be more positivity in this world, and people need to reflect on God's word more. And that's what I've been doing. It's my way of showing my gratitude for what God's done for me and my life over this past year, because my life has changed just unbelievably since I've started coming to the church and really getting back to the Word. And I just couldn't consider myself any more blessed or appreciative, because I was in a real bad place before I started coming here. And I don't feel the anger or the hatred anymore. And I owe it all to the church and to God. And I just can't.
Tell them the name of your Facebook page, in case it would go on.
It's just, you just search Carl Geppinger. Okay. And it's Geoppinger.
See, we put this on the internet. Maybe somebody on the internet might get your page. If you don't tell us the name, they wouldn't know.
Yeah, and it's public, so anybody can get on it and check it out.
Okay, that's great. Clyde, you got anything you want to say?
Yeah, why don't you ask Debbie first?
Debbie, you want to go first?
Can I look at everybody?
Sure.
This shutdown was God sent for me and Clyde. We had been so worn down caring for Josh, and at that time I was still caring for the kids, getting them off to school, making their lunch, getting them on the bus. And so I was getting up real early in the morning and, you know, being with Josh all day, and I was just exhausted. And turns out when everything shut down, Joe could work from home, and so my 21 year job as nanny granny came to an end. And we were, you know, able to stay home and just rest and do things we wanted to do. And I wanted to relate one thing about Josh. He said to me one day, a lot of you haven't seen him since he's been incapacitated, and he can't communicate very well. And he said to me one day, he said, "Mom, I had a nightmare last night." And I said, "What was it?" He said, "I was trying to tell people that I was hungry and thirsty, and they couldn't understand me." And it really wasn't a nightmare, it's his life. I mean, he has a hard time communicating with people. And I was just sitting here thinking, there are many people walking around that are hungry and thirsty, and they're hungry and thirsty for God and His Word, and they don't even know it. And, you know, we can offer them that. There's this one little aide there. She's really sweet and compassionate and real nice to Josh. And he said, "I'm going to pray for you." She goes, "Why do you think I'm a devil worshiper?" I guess no one ever offered to pray for her before. But, you know, you don't know the circumstances of people's life and how hard they are and what they really need is soul work. And I just thank God for, I hate to say it, for quarantine.
You know, Oscar, she said that he kept us home. This is a joke. He kept us home to rest. We've been working more in our yard and stuff like that. That, you know, we had to stop yesterday on purpose. You know, we were with you until about 2.
Yeah.
And, but God knows what we need.
Yes, He does.
And you know what? I believe He has shown me in this time. You know, we used to sing a song, "Shut In With God in the Secret Place."
Amen. Yeah.
Well, I got news for you. God, it's not a secret to God.
No.
The secret's to us.
Yeah.
Because we don't realize how much he dwells within us. And this time of separation has caused us to enter into that place, mm-hmm. his dwelling place. Yeah. You know, you don't have to go far when you know he's in you.
That's right.
And the whole thing comes down to it. God says, you know, I'm in control. You're up there and all around it, and you're using different words, but all things were made by him and for him, and without him was nothing made.
That's right. Amen.
That details a lot.
That's right.
And, you know, I mean, and calling those things that aren't as though they are,
yeah.
This has been a wonderful time. And I hope every one of you missed us, because we missed you.
Praise the Lord. You guys want to say something?
I don't.
You want to say something?
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago, I don't know if everybody knows, I was in the hospital for 2 days. And I was out, and I got real dizzy, and I couldn't breathe, and my chest hurt, and I thought, oh boy, I'm having a heart attack or something, and they took me to the hospital, and I had 2 days where I could actually just sit and rest, you know. Kath couldn't come and see me, of course, and, you know, you have the TV while you're laying there. Well, I never turned the TV on. I just sat there and rested, and I just kept talking to the Lord, and they did every kind of test that you could possibly think on me, and of course they found out I had no issues with the heart. They did an MRI on my brain. They said they didn't find anything. But they tested all the blood vessels in my neck. You know, they tested everything that you can possibly think of. And they found, and they kept saying, and the doctor, one of the doctors came in, she says, you know, you're perfectly fine. As far as I can see, you know, you're perfectly fine. And the other thing is, you know, the people I had taking care of me were the most compassionate people I've ever seen. They just were the nicest people. And from the doctors to everybody, the nurses, I mean, it was just wonderful. And I just want to thank the Lord that he gave me the time to spend with him and be at rest and not have any fear. And I thank him that I came through fine.
Praise the Lord. That's great. How about you, Sherry?
Well, I did receive that strength.
Oh, praise the Lord. That's good.
But during this time, yeah. If I would have had to go into the office, I've been very sick the last few months. I couldn't have done that. I would have had to take a leave or something. But I'm like Debbie, I just rested. And my boss said, "Is whatever hours you can work, you work, because we need you." So it feels good to be needed. But I just thank the Lord that he gave me that strength and that time of rest.
I still continue going because I take care of B, the one that's, she turned 97 this past week, and we pray together, and we pray for people on the phone, and there's a women's group. We've been meeting probably maybe 3 years or more, and God gave me the name Covenant Sisters of God for our group, and we meet together once a month, but we have a group where we text one another any needs or anything. So we've been doing that. So the last meeting since we're quarantined, the church of the one sister goes to, gave her the number that we could call, and so we could all be on it together. And so we've got to, you know, pray together like that and pray with others and all. We miss seeing Betty and Mary because Buddy and I always went on Fridays, you know, to see them. But the activity, he's in activities, he's a cousin to us. He told us if we want to call and he gave, we have his number, that he'll do like FaceTime, you know, on his phone, and I can do it on mine. And he said he'd get the two of them together, so we, because I know they wonder where we're at and what's going on and all, so that we can talk to them and be able to see them. But I thank God for the opportunities that he gives us. Like BNI, she is so precious. I've been going to be, I can't believe it'll be 4 years July 1st. And I've lost a son and she's lost a son, you know, in that time. And she is really, she's outlived. She's got, she had five sons, she's got two left that live in Cable, and they come by all the time to, you know, see her and do things for her. And I just thank God for the privileges that he gives us and the opportunity in getting to share Christ with one another. And I certainly, we have missed coming out here. We're so glad to be with Rich, you know, on Zoom, and also to listen to Brother Oscar, and also to hear Cynthia. So we just think, we so appreciate all of you, and we so thank God that we're getting to see your faces again, and thank God for his presence.
Yeah, I was, you know, on this pandemic, I was watching TV, and I was really impressed with all the brotherly love that was shared at that time, even with your doctors and nurses, you know, voluntarily going into hospitals to take care of the patients of this pandemic. And I just wish that would happen all year round, every situation, even this past week when we had this situation with the police and with the black people. I mean, I just hate to see that, because, you know, the riots doesn't justify what happened, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, we were with the looting and the rioting and all that. I can see taking a stand for justice, but some of the things, I was ashamed of how people were acting and all. And my niece, they live over right in Columbus, where things was going on. And then a girl I knew that was a friend of Charles's in Minnesota, well, was on live and shown, and it's very disappointing to see the reactions that's been going forth. I want us to really pray that if you want to demonstrate to be peaceful and not be doing all of that that's been going on.
Yeah, that doesn't bring justice to the situation. It just like takes it away and puts hatred out there, really.
Yes.
Well, let's all just pray that the Lord brings some positiveness out of that. I mean, you hate to see terrible things happen, but sometimes God will turn around and use something like that. Under the surface, a lot of times we don't get to see the results of even lives that are changed and things like that. But I mean, it's a horrible thing on the surface. But like I say, we just need to trust the Lord and do what we can to be peacemakers, you know. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, you know.
Like to see that, like, yeah. See, you know, when the pandemic first came and all the love that was, you know, brought around, right. And then it drops down to this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, and you know, it's there's really nothing we can do about it. Just pray about it, you know. Right. Pray for people, and pray for even the young kids that are out there doing that stuff, because they're angry, you know, mm-hmm. and they don't know how to vent the anger in any way but doing that. So. We need to keep them in prayer, you know, and the even the police, you know, and the guards that are out there and everything. I mean, they're all putting their life in jeopardy, you know, and I mean, you know, it's a shame that it has to come to that, but, you know, we just have to trust that the Lord will work it all out somehow, you know.
You always have valleys, but then yeah. There's always a mountain.
That's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Curtis, you want to say anything? Oh, come on, Curtis. You got a joke or anything? Come on, Curtis. You always got a joke. I know you got a joke. Curtis is the best joke teller I know. He sends me a joke every now and then. I usually tell you guys, he ain't sent me one for a while. I think he's mad at me or something. He ain't sent me a joke for a while. Well, praise the Lord. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. And it was good to hear from you all today. And, you know,
folks, I want you to realize that even when I'm speaking up there, or anybody speaking up there, if you have any questions or you don't understand something, feel free to ask. Well, I won't get mad at you. I'll be glad, matter of fact, because I'm not going to say anything up there that I don't feel like I can explain to you. I won't say it if I can't explain it. And that's the way most of the people should be if they're up there speaking. And if they get mad at you, I'll tell them to quit. Quit doing that. But anyway, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your sweet, sweet spirit. I thank you for your body here today, Lord. I thank you for them all sharing even the insights and the things that you dealt with them during this time of, isolation to a certain extent. But you know, Lord, it even a lot of times in situations like that, you open up doors. I had some people that I hadn't had contact with for years let me know that they really enjoyed the messages I put on, and would I continue to keep putting them on? And I didn't put one on last week, so I guess I'll have to try to stick one back on there. But you know, God opens up doors, and when he opens them, we need to just walk through them and do whatever God would have us do. But Father, in the name of Jesus, just keep all your people safe. We thank you for their faithfulness, and we just want to bless them in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all.